Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. The weather's improving. I think we're going to make it. I mean, we've had every kind of weather in the world. We've had dirt storms. We've had tornadoes. We've had everything they can think of.
Yeah.
And we've had cold weather in March, and now it's looking pretty good.
Yeah. It may be like we're finally to that place where things are finally settling down a little bit, and it's going to be like actually like spring in spring, which is
nice. That would really be nice.
Yeah.
You know, the other day when it got so cold, I thought maybe all these flowers would just close up and we might not have them. But everybody says they're blooming all over Texas.
Wow.
So that's a good sign.
Yeah. I mean, anytime it gets, spring is always kind of like touch and go anyway, because sometimes it'll get warm and then, you know, things will bloom and then it'll be a little cold snap and then, you know, they'll die out and then it'll get warm and they'll bloom again. So it's kind of like that transitional period. But my goodness, it's like, you know, when it gets like that cold, it's like, whoa, that's a little bit of a, I don't want to call it a wake up call, but my goodness, that'll
get
you up.
I think it was for me. I mean, it was so cold. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't remember ever being that cold.
Yeah.
But I probably think that every year, but it was doggone cold.
You know, you're probably right. We probably say that every year and don't even realize, oh, this is the coldest spring ever. And it may or may not be. It may be just normal, but my goodness, you know, and then you get into the spring. It's like, ooh, you get that summer itch. It's like, ooh, we're almost into like summer. You know, we're summer vacation is like right around the corner, and it's almost time to go places and travel and do all these things that we do in the summertime. And so we're just itching so hard to get to that spot that maybe we're just a little bit too hungry for it, and we need to
maybe
let it happen.
Well, let me tell you my experience with insurance companies this week.
Oh,
I've had the best experience I believe that I can ever remember with an insurance company.
Really?
Yes. Now let me ask you this: if you were driving in your car and you spilt something on your console, and it went down under where all the wiring is and shorted it out.
Oh, my.
Okay.
Okay.
Do you think the insurance company would cover something like that?
I would think that's probably driver fault, and so probably my gut would say no.
That's what I said because, you know, it's not an accident. It's that's what I think they cover, you know, the accidents and hazard and, you know, things like this.
Yeah.
And somebody said, Faye, let us know. We might have a couple of recommendations on your car. And I said, well, you know, first of all, I don't believe anything like this is covered. But anyway, I had my car towed over to the dealership, and they took it apart, and they said, you spilt something on the console. It ran down. It shorted these wires out. And that's why your battery was going down all the time and you were having to call AAA. So I knew I was going to have a rent car. And I knew that might be covered. So I called the insurance company and they said, well, we'll cover $60 a day.
Oh.
And I said, well, that's a good thing. I didn't know you would, but I appreciate it. So then they called me back and they said, you know, there's a $500 deductible on your car. I said, but I didn't have an accident. And they went over and they said exactly what happened. I told them. And they said, well, we're going to go to the dealership and look at your car. I said, well, okay. I mean, you know, I know this isn't covered, and I keep stressing it's not an accident. I did not have an accident. They went over. They called me back. They said the claim is covered. We'll be paying it. You'll owe a $500 deductible, and that's it.
Whoa, really?
It was an $1,800 charge. They covered all but $500.
Oh.
They covered all of the rent car for the 4 days I had it, other than $37.
Really? Wow.
And it's the best insurance company in the world.
That's
impressive.
I mean,
I did not believe that anybody in the world would have covered spilling a drink on a console.
No, I wouldn't think so either. It sounds like not only did they just cover it, but I mean, they completely covered it. And
they really did.
And everything.
And when I told them that I had a rent car, they said, which company? I said, Enterprise. They said, oh, we'll handle that.
Really?
And I mean, they called them over and said, hey, this is an insurance claim. And they got a discount, and then they paid off the $37. Let me tell you something.
Wow.
If you don't have Nationwide, you're backing up, let me tell you.
My goodness.
I mean, I've had them for 20 years. Everything I own is insured with them, but I didn't know they were that good.
Yeah.
I knew that they'd always paid these big claims. But who ever heard of them paying for something like that?
My goodness. I mean, you hear stories all the time about how insurance companies will get out of, you know, paying just an average legitimate claim, you know, whether it's, you know, lightning strikes the house and, you know, or wind damage on the roof, and they'll deny it for this technicality or that technicality. They'll find a way out of it all the time. But my goodness, it sounds like these people were, like, on top of it. Wow.
Not only that. Then the dealership called, and they said, you're not going to believe it. Your bill's already been paid. The insurance company walked in here and paid a check.
Really?
I mean, they had it paid before it was even finished.
Wow. That's amazing.
Now, is that good or not?
My goodness. Wow.
I mean, they didn't write a check a month later like a lot of them are saying, send us the bill and we'll pay.
Yeah.
None of that junk.
Wow.
They went over there and they paid the dealer.
Yeah, most of them will drag their feet and you know, it'll
be a month. It takes 30, 45 days to get a claim paid.
Yeah.
It was paid before the car was even put back together.
Golly. I mean, they just walked in, paid a... I've just never heard of something... Not only a spectacular experience, but that fast as well. That's just shocking to me in a good way.
I was in a state of shock. I said, first of all, I thought because of my behavior that I was going to have to pay $1,800. Then I figured I was going to owe another $800 or so probably, you know, at the rental car.
Yeah.
And I owed $37, and I was just in shock. I go, oh, my gosh. But it's great to have a good experience with an insurance company.
Yeah, I know it, and you don't hear many stories like that. This is spectacular.
I mean, it's the best I've ever had. And another thing I thought about insurance companies this week, a neighbor's house burned several miles away. And I remembered that you always make sure you have replacement costs on your houses. Not what you paid for it years ago, but replacement. Because the replacement value is a lot more. Because what it would cost to replace your house now versus 4 years ago or five, or even 10, is a big difference.
So
you need to always be sure you've got replacement value.
Let me write that down, because I don't know if we have that. I haven't. That's a good point. I don't know that I paid attention to it enough to even know. I should check.
A lot of
that.
People don't. You know, they take out their policy, and 20 years later, they haven't done anything. They should have a review every couple of years also.
Yeah.
I had a review a couple of years ago, and they come in and they look at everything.
Yeah, and you know, and especially, you know, when it's kind of like, you know, when you like set up your will and things like that, it's just like, you know, over time things will change. You'll, you know, have a falling out with somebody, or, you know, like when you're talking about the insurance here, I guess I've never really thought about the fact that you know, and we, like with our cars, you know, we have like the gap insurance and all that in case, you know, it needs to be replaced. And what's the actual replacement cost versus the value and all that? I've never really thought about going in and checking on, you know, the house insurance. That's
well, and under your house insurance, you, if you've got nice barns, you know, you need to make sure that everything is covered on the property, your barns, everything. If you've got a lean-to, don't worry about it. But if you've got nice barns, you know, a barn can cost from $150,000 to $250,000 to replace.
Yeah.
So you want to be sure that you've got insurance to cover all that.
Yeah. And sometimes people will do, you know, like they'll either remodel or they'll do an add-on, or, you know, like you say, build into either another structure, another barn, or, you know, maybe something else. Put a, I don't know, like a granny pod in the back, or there's all kinds of things that people can do from the time they buy it to when something hopefully it doesn't, but if it were to happen, there could be all kinds of changes. And so it's good to go in and review that. Well, I hadn't thought about that. Replacement for home insurance. Interesting.
Yeah, you need to make sure you have it. And you always need to make sure how much liability insurance you have in case your dog bites someone.
Yeah, and that's something that we don't always think about is that liability.
That's right. Boy. And that is a big liability. If you have any kind of dog that might bite someone, you need to make sure you have insurance for it, because they will sue your butt if your dog bites them, let me tell you.
Yeah, yeah. Or even if, you know, somebody comes over and, I don't know, they fall down the stairs or they...
That's exactly right. Or they get hurt on your property and they have to go to the emergency room or the hospital.
Yeah.
You want to be sure that you're covered. Yeah. So insurance is great, but you need to buy it before something happens. Don't wait until some accident happens and you say, gosh, I wish I'd had insurance for that.
Yeah, we've all heard the stories. It reminds me of some stories that I've heard in the past where something has happened and then they call the insurance and say, hey, I want to change my policy. It's too late for that at that point. The whatever has happened, the wind already blew your shingles off. You can't change the policy now.
That's so right.
Wow.
Insurance is before you need it, not after you need it.
Insurance tips with Faye Bagby.
There you go.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby, and your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
So what are some other wonderful things that have happened this week?
Well, a sad thing is the neighborhood hen. Everybody loved this hen. This hen visited everybody. And every morning it would come and come on people's porches, and everybody loved it. And something happened to it this week. The neighbors were all upset.
Oh, no.
That the neighborhood, they'd had it for 5 years probably. This hen was just like a pet, like a cat or a dog. And came up every day, wanted to be petted just like a dog. And they loved it, and they missed it the other morning. And then, of course, they found that it was deceased.
Oh.
So the neighbors are all upset about that.
Wow, I'm sorry to hear about that.
But everybody has a pet, It doesn't matter if it's that turtle we talk about sometimes, the turkeys, a hen. These are country people.
you and I live very different lifestyles.
That's right.
I've never had anybody tell a story about a neighborhood hen that people would pet every morning like a dog.
That's right. I was in shock, but that's right.
Well, I'm sorry to hear about that.
And they discovered it, and they were all upset.
No.
Said, it really livened up the neighborhood. You could call it, and it would come to you.
Really? Interesting.
Yes. This hen was just like, a puppy or something. It loved everybody, came on the porch every day. Get up in their lap, all kinds of crazy things.
Wow. Well, I'm sorry
and to
hear about that.
Let me tell you, the reason we know it's spring, there's baby rabbits everywhere.
Ooh.
Everybody is having rabbits right now. there's some cute little rabbits in neighbor's yards.
It's a good time for it because it's like a bunch of junior Peter Cottontails.
That's right. Well, they're always born before Easter, as you know.
Yeah.
And these people, a lot of them, don't know what to do about them, and they're afraid the mother isn't coming back. But I'm sure the mother just went off to get some food or something.
Yeah, you would hope so. It's
we hope so.
It should be, part of their natural instinct and what they do. But sometimes rabbits, I would guess, go rogue. But, hopefully.
Or they have a little trouble getting back sometimes.
Oh, that could be too, yeah.
That could be the problem.
I didn't think about that.
But there was pictures this week on next door of these little rabbits.
Oh, my goodness.
They were adorable.
Wow. You know, and the funny thing is when you tell these stories, they sound like they're made up, but they're real. You can't make this stuff up.
I don't think you could make this up about the hen.
Oh my. This is one of the good things about living where you live, because we get to live vicariously through you and hear these fun stories.
That's right. I mean, see, that's why you don't want to live in such a city place.
No.
Because nothing good like this ever happens.
Oh, no.
And you're not going to see bunny rabbits, and you're not going to see deer, and, you know, different things that remind us of the old days, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, when life was simple.
Yeah.
That's a long time ago, but yet in our neighborhood, it's not that far away.
You're like literally in a time capsule, living in a simpler time.
That's right. We're living in a simpler time, and we'll live longer too, maybe.
Yeah. Hopefully. I mean, golly, if you have time and can actually have the kind of a situation where you appreciate these kinds of things, that's rare these days. So, yeah, I mean, it's nice. I mean, I know it's kind of silly.
Oh, and I forgot to tell you, the neighbor's pig got out. I forgot to tell you about that. There are two places over, and they have a pot-bellied pig, and it got out. Everybody's out there scrambling, trying to help them get the pig back.
What do they do? Do they put out like a neighborhood alert? You know, the pig got out.
Oh no, they come and tell you our pig is out. That's what happened. And it's two fences over.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, we don't know how it got out, but it did. And so everybody was scrambling, trying to help them get the pig back in.
So the neighbors all rallied together and get the pig back in. Boy, that's just, you don't hear that every day.
Oh, and when my puppy got out, there was four neighbors came to the rescue.
Really?
Oh, my gosh, yes. They came to the rescue.
Was that this week? Did she get out this week?
No, this is a couple of weeks ago before we got her the new fancy collar.
Oh, did you get her one of those that it can't go beyond a certain point?
That's right.
Neat.
We got her this fancy collar, and it tells me where she is at all times.
Oh, wow.
You know, and she can't get near a fence, or it will either whistle at her or tell her to go back or something like that.
Oh,
and it
neat.
Scares her to death.
Yeah.
Now she's little, so it scares her really bad.
I'm sure. I'm surprised if she got out a couple of weeks ago. I'm surprised you were able to get her, because she's like small and fast, isn't she?
She is fast and she is small. But I got in the car and drove down the road, and everybody was chasing her. And I just called her name and told her to come to me, and she did.
Oh,
and I
good.
Grabbed her up and put her in the car.
Yeah.
Because she was letting everybody chase her and just, you know, outrunning them. That's what she was doing.
So she thought it was a game. It was like fun time.
Oh, yeah. And I was scared to death, you know, that she'd get ran over.
Yeah. Especially the way people drive down that road. I mean, my goodness.
I know, they do. But there was four neighbors came to the rescue.
Well, that's good. See, now that's the kind of thing that you know, it's just to have, whether it's a dog that gets out, or a pig, or a hen, or a turtle. It's like neighbors come together. You don't see that very often.
Neighbors
anymore.
Helping neighbors here. Let me tell you, that's the way it is.
Oh, wow! How nice. All right. Well, we better talk about money before you start getting phone calls.
That's right. We better. Well, we had a maturity a couple of weeks ago. We had another one this week. It was Catherine Ritter. And I'll be sure and say that where everybody'll know if they're in the Catherine Ritter policy. There's about 11 people in it, and I'm looking at it, and it's people that are always getting maturities.
Mm.
I mean, certain people, it seems like, are always getting maturities on every policy. And the profit was several people had $80,000 in it, They're getting 104,000.
Oh, wow.
One person put in 85,000. They're getting 110,000 back.
Oh, my word. Wow.
And then some of them, we had some small deals, 59,000, and they're getting 77,000.
Oh, my goodness. That's huge.
So that, and we had one person only had 40,000, and they're getting 52.
Well, still not bad. I mean, my gosh.
That's not bad at all.
Yeah.
But I'm like the ones that put in 80. That 104 looks mighty good.
Yeah, it does. And you say some of these are the same investors that are in a lot of different policies. And
they're
that's,
in a lot of different policies.
I mean, really, that's the is that the key to?
It is the key. If you're in a lot of policies, you're always got something coming due. You've always got a policy, you know, that's coming right due. And the other good thing is that we've finally bought a policy this week. You know, we've been bidding on everything in town, and right now it's tight out there. So people have been outbidding us. They're paying a lot for these policies right now. But we got a pancreatic cancer policy. And, you know, we love those because those always come in early. It's not real large, but I think it'll fill very quickly.
Wow. Yeah, those do. Those are some of the hot ones that go quick, right?
Yeah. And people have been calling, wanting in policies. So I'm going to tell them, you know, here it is. We've got you in it.
Yeah. For those who, I guess, are in a number of different policies, on average, and I know everybody's a little bit different, but how many policies at any given moment are the ones that are thriving the most generally in, generally speaking?
I would say that we've got 15 policies, perhaps.
Okay. All right. See, because it's like you try to kind of, I guess, paint the picture of how your most successful investors are investing so that people can maybe emulate that or strive for that or work up to that or however, you know, it works for them individually. But it's like the more policies that people are in, it's just like, like you say, I would imagine.
Your income is going to increase and increase.
Exactly.
I've got several people, old-time customers, that have probably 30 or 40 policies.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So their income is tremendous.
Yeah. I would say, yeah, I mean, if you always have policies that are coming in and then people reinvest into other policies, and it's not one of those things where somebody gets into a policy and then it matures and then they run off and retire. It's a process. It's a there's this whole strategy that happens over, you know, a number of years to build wealth and get people, you know, ready for retirement. And that's a good example of what we kind of always talk about as far as how is, because there's some people, I guess, that sit on the sidelines, maybe don't invest as much as either they could or should or want to or whatever the case is. But those that do, the ones that are most active, are the ones that are thriving the most, I guess.
That's exactly right. And because it just goes over and over again, same thing. But you have to be fully invested in order to make it work.
Yeah.
If you've got two or three policies, it's hard. But if you've got a lot of policies, it's easy.
Hmm. For a new investor that is coming in, maybe thinking about maybe making a change, they've been in the stock market for a while, they're looking for something that's a little bit more invested, conservative, paint a picture of the life settlement investment as a whole. Generally, how does it work? What is it all about?
Well, of course, you know, we bid on these policies. That's how we buy them. We try to buy them as less as we can, so to speak. But right now, they are going higher. But we try to make sure that people make at least 1% a month. And most of our policies always pay a little more than 1% a month. Sometimes it's 2% a month. So the profit is there. It's steady. It's always the same. You're going to get your profit. You're going to get your money back. This is an insurance policy. That's why it's safe. You don't have the risk you have in all these other investments. So, you know you're going to get that principal back. And how many investments can you do where you know that you're going to get your principal back.
I can't think of any.
That's exactly right. So when we do this, we bid on the policy, we buy the policy, then we send out to certain people an invitation to join. And we say, okay, we're inviting you in for $50,000 or $75,000, whatever it is. And then we send them all the information on the person where they'll know what kind of a policy it is, what kind of a cancer, how long they've had it, and what treatment they're taking. So they have all that to make the decision. Then they're going to say yes or no. Either they want in it or they don't. So that's really how it works. Then when they get paid, it goes to the bank direct. It never comes to us. So Nevada Trust, they get the check, and they put it in everybody's account.
So essentially,
so it's really pretty streamlined.
Yeah. I mean, to kind of to make it as simple as possible, you're buying a share of a life insurance policy, and then when it matures, you get your percentage of the profit between what it pays out and what you paid for it. Am I saying that
That's
the right,
right
way? Okay.
It's the difference between what we paid for it and what the face amount is.
Okay. All right.
So that's what you're going to make, the difference there, the spread.
Yeah, the spread. That's a good way to put it. And the policies that you're buying, you're looking for specific types of policies because you're not looking for something that, you know, may mature 30, 40, you know, 50 years down the road. You're looking for faster returns. And so when people see the commercials on TV where like the people are like traveling all over the place and they're seeing the grandchildren and going to the Grand Canyon and smiling and, you know, eating at a barbecue thing and corn on the cob, that's not those are not what you're
that's not what's going to happen. No.
Yeah.
we hear those ads all the time. You know, if you want to be take a vacation, you want to go to Europe, you know, we'll buy your policy. But they're not going to pay much for those.
No.
Now, if you're sick, you can come out really good. And it doesn't even have to have a cash value. You know, we do this on policies that have no cash value. It doesn't matter. This is what the market says. The market says if you have a policy and you've got an illness, you can sell it and retain a lot of money. That's what it amounts to.
And they don't have to worry about losing literally everything. I mean, you're literally protecting your principal because when a policy matures, it pays out 100%. It's never discounted, and it doesn't matter what's going on with the market or something overseas or anything else. There's nothing that affects the payout. When it matures, it matures, and it pays out. And there's not any kind of a factor where people are going to have to wonder, well, gosh, you know, this is down or the market's down, so I wonder if this is going to pay a percentage. It's 100% every single time with a life settlement.
That's right, because we know going in what you're going to make. We know what we're going to do, and then it's just a matter of sitting back and waiting. We know how many months they say it is. It's going to come close to that. The older policies, no, but the newer policies, they're accurate, very accurate.
Yeah.
They're coming in early or on time. So we're thankful that we've got that changed. So it's a better for everybody. But you know going in what you're going to make. You know approximately when it's going to reach. You know, mature. It's never exact.
Yeah.
But then what we like is when you open an account with us, it goes to Nevada Trust. The account is not with us. It's with Nevada Trust. So we've got all kinds of safety measures. We use a trustee for everything. Not only is your money there, when it matures, it goes to the bank and the bank puts it in your account. So we've got every kind of safety feature we can think of.
Yeah, it's highly regulated. There's lots of guidelines and rules and things like that. So, you know, it greatly reduces. Because you hear all these stories all the time about how, like a stockbroker will, you know, do this or do that or, you know, charge this or make, trades that aren't necessary or necessarily good for the investor. But, you know, every trade gets them, you know, some money. And so doing things that are not necessarily in the investor's best interest is really kind of what the stock market's all about. And not to mention the chance that you take with it. But with a life settlement, there's no trading. There's no, things that are happening to counter benefits the investor. It's really just once you're in the policy, nothing happens until it matures. There's nobody's trading anything, and so it really kind of helps streamline. And there's no motivation for anybody to do anything. There's not even anybody in the mix to do anything. So there's not
all these brokers in between.
Yeah,
I was just reading this week about a bank that had this trust fund for all these Indians in Florida. And they put quite a bit of money in this bank, and the bank was supposed to be making them money. And they found out that the bank had charged them $17 million in fees.
Oh, my goodness.
In fees.
Wow.
And they sued the bank, and they got so much money. It's just amazing what it cost this bank. I'm surprised they're still in business, because they proved out that they were just sitting there charging them all this money and didn't make them any money. And they moved the money, and it's already doubled.
Wow. $17 million in fees.
In fees.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, you weren't ever going to make any money. And everybody doesn't look at all these fees that they're being charged by different entities. It's huge. And a lot of times people wonder why they didn't make any money.
Yeah.
It's because the brokerage fees were higher than your profit.
Since it came up, what are the fees?
It doesn't happen often, but every once in a while, somebody will do something stupid, and they get the money, and you don't.
Yeah, and you don't even know it until it's...
And you don't even know it until 3 or 4 years later, because people aren't looking at their statements. They're not reading them, So they don't know what the fees were.
What about fees for a life settlement? What are those?
It's $250 when you open your account. That's the first thing.
I love
you know.
When you say that.
It's $250 when we open your account. And then it doesn't cost you any fees when you do the policy because everything is included.
Yeah.
You know, when we buy a policy, you know what you're going to make, you know what we paid for the policy. And the profit's laid right there open.
Hmm. You know, it so is. It is
really
straightforward.
Yeah, I mean, everybody knows.
Golly. And that's why when we say that the people who are invested in the greatest number of policies, that's why they're literally thriving because and I'm just generalizing here, but on average, I would imagine, a policy matures every, several months, they reinvest, and then that, there's more policies. There's kind of like a giant leapfrog game, like a game of leapfrog. One will invest and then mature and then invest and then mature. And that's why it's just profit over profit over profit. And nothing is ever discounted. You don't have to worry about losing their principal. The same kind of thing, I would imagine, applies to annuities. Is that people don't have to worry about losing their principal with an annuity, right?
That's annuities have got everything going for them at this point. You know, first of all, it's tax deferred. Anybody that can make money tax deferred is on the right side, because everybody else is paying taxes as you go, and you don't make as much that way. Then it's compound interest. And then at the end of the trail, you can take all the money out. And lots of times, some annuity companies won't let you do it. They require a 5-year payout. The companies we use do not require a payout.
Really?
At the end of 10 years, you can walk away with everything. Or you can say, leave it in and just give me payments. Or you can take payments from the start. You can start the second year if you need to take an interest out. So there's so many options with an annuity. It's great. It's for all ages. You know, it doesn't matter how old you are, up to 80 years old. You know, you can do an annuity and have your money safe and know it is. I love annuities. The bonuses, I love them. One of our annuity companies this week said they're going to decrease the interest rate because things are not going as well.
Really? Oh, yeah. That's big news.
And so one of them, we have to watch their rates. And, some of them are coming down. Ours are still up on our favorite insurance company so far. The bonus is still there. You can still get the 14% bonus, and everything you put in for second year and third year, you're going to get that bonus. But if you get a bonus of 14% up front, and then whatever it makes, let's say it makes 10% this year, then you're home free.
That's great. I mean, it's just,
and
like,
the average, I said, is 10%. It's right at 10% this year. You know, I told you about that last week, about the $1 million, and I got $95,000, $96,000.
Yeah. I mean, that's just, it's incredible. I mean, just the companies that you deal, and there's like, what, 14 options?
There's all kinds of options. There's so many ways to do this. I mean, you can plan for your future doing it every way in the world. And if the first year you don't like the percentage on some of them, well, we can change it around. I mean, it's not directly in the stock market, so we can do every option you want. That's the good thing about this. It mirrors the stock market. It looks like the stock market, but it's not ever in the stock market. So whatever you make, it locks it in at the end of the year. You don't have to worry about your returns.
Yeah.
And the stock market is never locked in.
Oh, gosh.
You know,
yeah.
Every day has to stand on its own.
And you
today
always,
you make money, tomorrow you lose it.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, with the stock market, you could literally lose everything, but with an annuity, you're literally protecting your principal, so you don't have to get up in the middle of the night. It's still the excitement of the stock market if it goes up, but if it doesn't, you don't have to worry about, oh my gosh, do I have anything left at all? And then you have the bonuses on top of it to kind of, you know, if things stay flat, the bonuses, you know, are there in place. So you're still making money with the bonuses. And then if it does make money, you get bonuses on top of what you made. So it's just, I don't know. It's just annuities, just they're so underrated. It seems like maybe just people don't, I don't know. Maybe it's not one of those exciting, you know, flashy, you know, whiz bang twirly kind of investments that is super exciting.
But it's solid.
It's solid, but boy, solid. People are making money,
you know,
and gosh,
you're making money and you're doing it very comfortably. It's going to lock your interest in, as I said, and so every year you know what you've made.
Yeah.
Every year starts over. We add that interest, then the next year we'll add that interest, and so it just keeps going, and it's just very comfortable.
I also like the fact that it's that people aren't like locked into something for, you know, like you look at like a REIT, you know, or something like that. People are locked in for 20 years and there's nothing you can do. But with an annuity, people can make changes. It's fluid. It's not let, you know, people are stuck with whatever you locked in on day one. You can make changes every year. And I think that's pretty attractive to people too, I would
say.
Yeah,
because it's not like a lot of these deals, it's not a bond. It's not a deal that's never going to change. I heard that sometimes now it would take you a year to cash in a bond. Now,
oh.
I don't know why.
Oh.
Nobody hasn't explained that to me yet.
That's
but
just,
if you buy a bond and you want to cash it in, and they say no, it'll take you a year to get your money. That doesn't sound too good.
No, that doesn't sound good at all.
I mean, I don't understand.
I
wouldn't want to do that.
No.
And annuities, you can borrow money on them. Let's say you decide to start a business. And you say, well, what do I have as collateral? Well, you've got your annuity.
Hmm. We don't always talk about that, but that's interesting.
No, but it's true. But most people just put their annuity in the drawer and let it grow.
Yeah.
They let it grow for several years, and they say, you know, I think we'll take some interest out. I think we'll take interest every year or every other year. And a lot of people retire. They have an IRA in addition to this. So they want to take the other one first, then this one.
Hmm.
So this one's growing all that time.
Yeah, it seems like a great conservative way for people to just keep making money, especially as we're, you know, in some uncertain waters. Maybe we could say it that way.
I think so. Right now, everything is a little dicey.
Yeah. And so, you know, people are obviously, you know, scratching their heads, looking around, thinking, how long is this going to go? There's, you know, threats of the R word potentially looming. So, you know, you never know. I mean, and if people want to, you know, go ahead and maybe be something somewhat proactive in some senses, if they haven't lost a ton of money already, then this will be a good option. Either one, annuities or life settlements, a good way to kind of move things over to a more conservative type of investment. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. It's got a lot of good information. Everybody should read it and from time to time remind themselves how everything works.
And every Saturday around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic today?
We're going to talk about Lampasas, Texas.
All right.
Okay. I don't know if you've been to Lampasas in a long time or ever been there.
I don't think I've ever
been. But there's a lot of things. You know, it's a very historic place. The courthouse was built in 1883.
Ooh, really?
Yes. And the historic district, it stretches for miles in every direction. When you come to town, there's so many things to see. You can start with the museum there. The museum has things like, it will rival the Hatfields and the McCoys.
Really? Cool.
Yes. They had people having a dispute years ago. They've got Eva's Cafe. Now, this is kind of a famous place. It's German. And, of course, you know the German heritage is all across the hill country. But I don't think you'll ever find German food as good as Eve's Cafe. These people came from the old world decades ago. Eva Sanchez and her husband Steve. And they run this authentic German restaurant on the square. And they will have schnitzel, the bratwurst, sausage stuff in-house every day.
Oh, my. Sounds delicious.
And they have Black Forest cake that's Ooh. Better than... And what tempted Hansel and Gretel? How about that?
Yummo.
And in the 1880s, there was a lot of things going on there, from its natural springs to the old cowboys. At one time, they said there was 30-something saloons in Lampasas.
Really? Wow.
You only had the cowboys. You had the outlaws. A lot of outlaws were there in the 1800s. And then Hancock Springs, you know, it's been there for years. And it attracts people from all over the country because of its natural healing, they thought. But we don't know that for sure. But you take a dip in the Hancock Springs, it pumps thousands of gallons of water every day. And that pool is cold year-round.
Oh, it's one of those that'll wake you up.
It will wake you up and get you going. Then you've got Hannah Springs Sculpture Garden. This sculpture garden has got every kind of sculpture in the world. You know, if you walk, they've probably got a dozen sculptures. They've got a monstrous catfish. It's in the bed of a rusted pickup truck. They've got a concrete sofa complete with a mosaic and an Afghan over it.
Oh, wow.
It's concrete. Then, the biggest thing in Lampasas, they have the world's largest spur.
Really?
It is 35 foot tall. It weighs 10,000 pounds.
No. Wow.
The world's largest spur.
That's impressive.
That I'm so impressed by it. When you see it, it is huge. And then you've got Storm's Drive-In. Now, this is a historic small-town drive-in. It was called Dairy Q, C-U-E. And everybody's been there, that's anybody. It's been there for 70 years.
Oh, wow.
And Elvis Presley, when he was in training at Fort Hood, was going there himself.
Really? How cool is that?
Yes. And they have Frosted Dr. Pepper.
Oh, my goodness. That's right up your alley.
That's right up my alley, that Dr. Pepper. And all these things are still the same in land passes.
Oh, wow. It's all,
can you imagine?
Sounds like a time capsule, like you walk into a living time capsule.
It is a time capsule. And when you look at this spur, I mean, it's the most amazing thing. And I don't know who did the spur for them, but it's so huge. I mean, it's so tall. I can imagine who built this. It would have taken some cranes just to get it up.
Wow. That's impressive. What is it, 10,000 pounds? Is that what you said?
10,000. It weighs 10,000 pounds.
Goodness
so
gracious.
So can you imagine how many cranes it took to install it?
Yeah.
To just get it upright?
Wow. That is impressive.
I mean, just get it upright. And it is beautiful. There's no doubt about it.
My goodness.
But 10,000 pounds of steel, I'm telling you, it would take a little bit to get that thing up.
Man.
But that's the place that everybody should visit. It's Land Passes. Have this wonderful German food. I love the German food.
Yeah.
And the old Dairy Queen type deal. I mean, it's just like it was 70 years ago.
Wow. It's to, that would that, see now that's the kind of thing that I love. You know how I love like that old architecture and old buildings and things like that.
You're right.
Courthouse built in 1883. I would love to see that. Just to walk in and just imagine, you know, the people that have been through there and what it was like when the thing was actually built. And it's just like stepping back in time, literally. It's just wow.
And their old museum. It's crazy. I mean, you know, everybody needs to go to that old museum. They've got all the things from the 1800s when it first started. They've got things from the people who lived back then, their relatives. I mean, they've got so many things for you to look at. There's just a lot of things to do in Land Passes, and the food is one of them.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, my goodness. I could just, all that food and all the spruce streusel and the all of it. It's just my goodness, how
and
amazing.
They came from the old country.
Yes,
they came from the old country, and they've been there all these years.
And you
same
know,
family.
Yeah, I mean those recipes, you know, are probably, I don't know, maybe hundreds of years old. Who knows? But they've probably been passed down from generation to generation.
I think you're right. They'd be over 100 years old because they've been there 70 years.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure that's somebody's grandma and great grandma and great great grandma's recipe. And my goodness. And I'm sure they probably, it sounds like, probably haven't changed anything since all this was first made. So, you
it
know,
sounds
it's authentic.
To me like they've left everything just like it was.
Yeah.
And the Dairy Queen, Dairy Queen or anything. And even Elvis Presley was there when he was in training at Fort Hood.
Yeah. Now, so, that would be cool, just to go
isn't
in where
cool?
he was. Yeah. My
and
word.
And to think that the Outlaws, all these Outlaws, they had 34 saloons at one time.
That's an awful lot.
How can you have
saloons?
That many saloons in one small town?
I don't know. That's like, I don't even think we have that many McDonald's in that much of a...
Well, I'd love to hear the stories from those old Outlaws and the old cowboys about what it was like.
Gosh, could you imagine? I mean, with that many saloons, you know, there's been we'll call it roughhousing, maybe a little roughhousing that's gone on, and the stories that people could have probably told, and the things that have happened. My goodness!
And I imagine, you know, those outlaws were just ravishing the country back then. You know,
yeah, my
they were free to run around.
Yeah, that's why they were called outlaws.
That's right. Nobody could tame them, I don't think.
Golly, I mean, to have that many saloons, and you know that they were all full all the time, and so it's just one big ruthless party, I guess.
In 1800s, I would say it was wide open.
Yeah, it was rough.
It would have been a rough town.
And the spring, the Hancock Springs, is that now we do we know if that's actually is it healing like powers or is it?
Well, they swear it does. They had healing powers. A lot of people are just jumping in for the fun of it, as you know. I mean, you know, it's a perpetual spring. And it pumps thousands of gallons of water every day.
Yeah.
And so the pool is a year-round cold pool.
Yeah, that'll wake you up.
It was started in the 1800s, so it's been there a long time.
Wow. What a great place. I don't know. I don't think I'm not even sure. I don't think I've ever even been there before. Lampasas has got to go on the list.
It's the start of the West.
Yeah. My goodness. That's definitely a weekend trip coming up. That's going on the list. So it sounds like something for everybody. If you like history, if you like fun things, if you like food, if you just want to get away and kind of like see what life was like a long time ago, it sounds like a nice weekend trip for really anybody.
I think so.
Wow. Cool. Lampasas.
You can either eat the German food to your bus, or you can go over to the little drive-in and eat there too. I mean, you got to try it all.
Yeah.
And it's got a historic district that won't quit. So there's a lot to see and do.
Yeah. It's one of those things that maybe kind of goes under the radar for some people. You know, you go to the tourist attractions and things like that, but then you can also, you know, and that's the great thing about the state is that, you know, there's all kinds of things like this where, you know, it just kind of like it gets underreported. Yeah, that's the word I'm looking for. So
underused.
That's a good one.
Underused. So it's a good place to go and look at all this, enjoy it, enjoy the food. It's just another great place to go.
Yeah. It's the list of places to go that you're telling us about is getting very, very long. In a good
way. Well, maybe everybody should just quit work and go have fun.
Well, there you go.
I mean, you know, I don't. That's my idea.
And my excuse will be Faye said so. Faye said it's
okay.
That's
right. She said, live it up while you can.
Yeah. Wow. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
See, now, if we were in school and we skipped school to go do some of these things when we were kids and we said Faye said so, you'd be getting phone calls. Oh, my. Okay, so for life settlements, there are a couple of things that people need to know if they're not already investor, if they're thinking about getting into these conservative investments. With a life settlement, there are two risks that people need to be aware of. What's the first?
The biggest risk is it might go over and you would have to pay premiums, so you need to know that. The second risk is it's not liquid till it matures, so you have to know that. Most people would know that. And then you must be qualified. You have got to be either make $200,000 a year or you must be worth $1 million without your house. So that is a government regulation. It is regulated.
Okay. And it is worth noting because it does make a difference. You've had people in the past who have been interested in doing a life settlement, but they didn't think, just kind of running some basic numbers off their head, they didn't think that they were accredited. But then they went back, pulled up some of their old statements, looked at some of their assets, and they found out not only were they accredited, but they were, you know, well accredited, more than met the
That's
basic
right.
threshold.
They had more assets than they thought.
Yeah.
And lots of times people don't count all their assets. You know, they've got a 401k, they've got a savings account, they've got a ranch, you know, different things. They own a business, or they've just put money in a 401k all these years. So most of them have got more than enough assets.
Yeah. Yeah, so if anybody thinks, oh, gosh, you know, I can't do this and just discount themselves right away, it is worth going back and running some numbers.
But remember, they can do it on salary of $200,000 or the assets of $1 million without the house. Either way.
That's true. We don't always focus on the salary aspect.
That's right, and the salary has to be $200,000.
Okay. For an annuity, there are not quite as much.
They're not as strict.
Yeah.
But you do have to have emergency money. You have to have money that they can see that you have the money to pay your bills. You have to have some extra. You can't put 100% of what you've got into an annuity.
Okay. So they will run some numbers, but there's not a strict accreditation like...
No, it's not. You don't have to be accredited. It's not as hard to get in.
And something that we don't always cover is that you do buy policies direct.
We do. If someone's got cancer and they're needing cash, we'll buy their policy.
Okay. All right. So what does it take for somebody to get started? If somebody's just, they've been listening to you for a long time, because I know this is the case with a lot of people, they'll listen to you for a long time. You'll talk about the both investments. What would it take for somebody who's never done this before to get started? What would happen?
Okay. They have to come over to the office there in Midland. They have to fill out an application with Nevada Trust. They have to set up the account. Once the account's set up, you know, we can get them invested, you know, very quickly. If they write a check to get it started, it's faster. If it's a 401 coming over, an IRA coming over, it takes about 2 weeks. But if they're writing a check, we can have them in an account within a week.
All right.
Now, if it's an annuity, it's fast now. It used to take 2 weeks. It isn't taking that now because they've got all these new features that they've got assigned to us where we can get an annuity real quick. We can get it in a couple of days now.
Oh, wow. That is fast. Goodness
it
gracious.
It is. The other day they issued one and I was in shock how fast it was.
Wow. So either way, there's a lot of options. The setup timetable is quick either way. And so it really takes nothing at all. But people do need to make an appointment. They do need to come and call you and talk to you. So one last time, Faye, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.